Come on, one more time. Praise the Lord. Let's just give him praise. Can we do that this morning? I have enjoyed our family series, and I pray that you have as well. We've enjoyed our Wednesday nights, and we've had a great turnout for that. And we have our final Wednesday night session with our Family Life Nights this Wednesday night. We'd love for you to come out. We have dinner at 5:45, and at 6:30 we begin with worship and a teaching on the family. We're looking forward to what God has for us this Wednesday night as well. But turn your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to go to the Word together. And this message is really about how God supplies for the family. How God supplies for the family. We serve a God who is more than enough. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. He's more than enough. Mary Alice and I, early in our marriage, we had been part of the Heritage USA ministry. Some of you know of that because it's right here in our backyard, the PTO ministry for several years. And we were part of that. It was a tremendous time in our lives. And many of you know the story there. Things kind of fell apart, and the ministry was kind of disassembling, if you will, and they finally had to let go of the music department. And so we were at a place where, what's next, God? And how many ever been at a place like that before? What's next, God place? Yeah. And so you're leaning in, listening to God, and we didn't really know. We thought we had a heading, and it wasn't the right timing for us. And so I said, you know, I'm going to go back to Bible college and pursue more of my education in my ministry pursuits. And so we moved to Springfield, Missouri, and it was a place that, I don't know if you've ever been out in Missouri, but it's a little bit different than South Carolina. A lot of flat land, a lot of just a different culture. It was just that place where we kind of felt like we were in that wilderness wandering time. And we were out there, and I was going to school during the day, working at night. But when we first moved out there, we just hardly had a penny to our name. If it wasn't for our mom and dad helping us, I don't know how we would have made it during that time after the move and all. But we got out there, and I was working, you know, at night, and we were going to school during the day, and it was just pinching pennies, and we didn't know how we were going to make ends meet at times. But we went in faith. Everybody say faith. We went in faith. And we began to learn to trust God. And God was teaching us some things about trusting in Him. And I remember one night we looked in the cupboard to see what was for dinner, and we had a can of beans. How many of us like a can of beans? If you have some cucumbers and some tomatoes and those kind of things in the summertime, that's all right. A little bit of cornbread mashed up in those. But we didn't have any of that. All we had was a can of beans. And I'm like, what are we going to do with this can of beans? And we're looking at each other, we were out of money, and we're out of groceries, and we didn't know what the next step was. Megan was a baby, and it was just one of those places where we're like, Lord, we need you. And about that time, we'd only been there about a week, and we had visited a church that Sunday and met a few people, and it was a wonderful service. It was Assembly of God Church there, Praise Assembly in Springfield, Missouri. Met the pastor, and it was just a great family. Well, unbeknownst to us, there was a knock on the door that night when we had that can of beans. And we opened the door, and it was a couple ladies and a man from the church that we had visited on Sunday. And they said who they were, and we're just here to welcome you guys to the community. I'm glad you guys are here. We visit our church. And we got a couple things for you. And we said, okay. And we're listening to it. And they went back out to the car and brought in about 5 bags of groceries. Not only that, but we started unpacking stuff and putting stuff in the refrigerator and the cupboard, and all of a sudden they say, we also have a check for you, or an envelope for you. And we opened it up, and it was a check for, I'm not sure how much it was, $200 or $300, but at the same time, it was $1 million to us at that moment. And we learned in that moment that God will supply our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We learned that in the middle of that wandering time, the middle of that wilderness time, God, where are you time? And I know many of you can share stories about how God has provided over and over again in your life. I want you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning as we're in 2 Kings. I want to talk to you today in our Heart for the Home message series about this woman, the widow, the jar of oil. We've been talking about the faith that we see in the life of Philip the evangelist in Acts chapter 21. It's been the premise of this message series, and how this man, even though God was using him greatly in throughout Jerusalem in the book of Acts, we see this, but we see that he also went home and he raised godly daughters. In Acts chapter 21, it says that he said he had 4 daughters that prophesied. And so around that premise, we're building this case, and we're seeing the hand of God in our lives and our homes, where we embrace those closest to us, that we come around those closest to us and we realize that they're our first disciples. And then while you do that, and while you focus on your family, while you're focusing on your family during this season, I pray that God's doing a work in your home, doing a work in your heart. But I want you to see today that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. You believe God is God is big enough to supply your need? He's the keeper of the storehouse? Let's look at a story here that reminds us of that in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. The wife of a man of the company from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Now, the company of the prophets, we understand that this woman was married to a prophet by the name of Obadiah. And Obadiah was part of 7,000 prophets that would not bow to Baal. And also, we see that this wife of Obadiah, during the time of Ahab, the rule of Ahab, we see that they hid 50 prophets in the cave. And so Obadiah and this woman, this widow that we're reading about, unnamed, we see that they took care of these 50 prophets. They fed those 50 prophets in the cave. And we believe that this is who this is talking about. So it was the company of prophets. Cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys and his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what do you have in your house?" Everybody say, "What do you have?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except for a small jar of olive oil." And Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. And then they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." And she replied, "There's not a jar left," and the oil stopped flowing. Then she went and told the man of God, and she said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would use this word today, God. Lord, as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God, that we'll hide this word in our hearts so we won't sin against you, God, but we'll follow you hard all the days of our life. And I ask, God, that you would use, Lord, this vessel, use these lips, God, this body, God, to speak your word, I pray today, in a mighty way. God, it must be your Holy Spirit that would direct our thoughts. And I pray that you would, Lord, let this word, Lord, let it soak in our hearts, God, that we might know who you are in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five or a fist bump before you're seated. God bless you guys. Tell them it's glad to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. I want to borrow something from a guy I love to listen to, Dr. Tony Evans. He says this, trials are adverse circumstances. Trials are adverse circumstances that God either introduces or allows in our lives to both identify where we are spiritually as well as to prepare us for where he wants us to go. He says, if you are alive, there is no escaping life's trials. Amen? There's no escaping life's trials. You're either in a trial now, you've just come out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go in a trial. Look at your neighbor and say, where are you at on that? Where are you at on that? Trials are unavoidable realities of life. I take immense comfort in knowing that although in this life I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, we walk through the sin-filled world around us. We walk through the trouble around us. And we can be a part of that club and we can say, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa! And if you sing it long enough, you know what? You have a group of people around you singing the same song. Hello? But I don't want to sing that song today. Even though I may have trials, even though I may have things coming, things that happen, adversities in my life, I declare to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. You ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to say I am blessed and I am highly favored of the Lord. If you want to know a little bit more what's going on, then I might tell you, I might share with you, but I'm going to come off this first of all saying, he is my God, and no matter what I go through, my God is with me. I trust him with my life. I trust him with the life of my family. Every morning I pray, Lord, I ask that you command your angels concerning Mary Alice and Madison and Logan and Julia and Megan and Mikey and Finley to guard them in all their ways. I ask God that you would guide them, that you would protect them, that you would direct their lives, and that you would guide them, Lord, and you provide everything they need. And I believe that God will do that. And I give that to him every morning, and I submit my family to him. And I believe that God will do that. You see, I believe in what we call the name of God, the character of God. I believe in Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Jireh. We get that word Jehovah Jireh from the story in Genesis where Abraham was taking his son Isaac up to be sacrificed on the Mount Moriah. He was bringing his son before the Lord. And we get that name Jehovah Jireh because God saw the need before Abraham even needed the answer to the need. You see, God sees the provision before he will give you the provision. In other words, what I'm going to ask you this morning is what does God see when he sees your heart? What does he see when he sees your life? Does he see a life of faith? Does he see a trust in God? Does he see a life that trusts in God? Or does he see a life that doubts God? When God sees a life that trusts in him, and when he sees the prevision, then he gives the provision. Everybody say praise the Lord for that. When he sees that I have faith in him, then he will supply. The name Jehovah Jireh, actually the name, the root word for Jireh means to see. Everybody say to see. See, when you see God sees Jireh, and then when you use the compound word of Jehovah Jireh, it means the God who sees and the God who provides. You see, when Abraham looked over in the thicket, what did he see? He saw the sacrifice that God had made available to him. It provided for him. So in that moment, he said he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who sees, and he's the God who knows, and he's the God who provides. It's a bringing together of who God is, the character of God, is that he provides for us. And what I want you to see today is that let God see your faith. Look at your neighbor and say, have faith. Come on, have faith. Let God see your faith so that he might see what's in your life. 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7 really talks about obedience. It talks about faith. If you look at the action words here, you see that she's looking and she's finding and she's obeying, she's doing. And when we read the word here, the first thing we see about the story with the widow's olive oil, we see first of all that she acted out by crying out to God. She cried. Everybody say cry out. She cried out to God. Look at verse 1, if you will. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out. I want you to underline that or highlight that in your words. She cried out to God. She cried out to Elisha. She cried out to the man of God. So the first thing we need to do when we have a need is to let God know about it. It's many times we want to let other people know about it. Many times we want to share the news. But the first person we need to bring it to is God. Hello? Bring it to God. Let God know he is the author and perfecter of my life. He is the author and perfecter of my faith. He is the Lord of my life. He is my Savior. He's my soon coming King. We need to let him know what's going on in our hearts. We need to come to him first and foremost with it. But there's a way to let him know. That is behind the shut door in prayer. Behind that place, that secret place, if you will. That place where you get in and it's just you and God. That place that's just you and me, Lord. Let me know what I'm talking about this morning. One thing we are inclined to do when we have a need is to let everyone else around us know before we even say anything about it to God. Kind of like our children. When a child has a need, they let everyone know until someone hears them, right? The child was going to let you know what that need is, and finally you have to attend to it. And many times we'll cry before God. We'll lament. We'll let other people know about it, but we won't take it really to God. And the first thing she said, she cried out to Elisha. She cried out and she went to the man of God and said, this is the need I have and I'm bringing it before you. She cried out before the Lord. The second thing she did is she shut the door. Everybody say, she shut the door. Look at verse 4, if you will. Then go inside. Let's back it up. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Underline that, shut the door, or highlight that in your word. Shut the door. There was times where I grew up here not far from the church, and I went to Richmond Elementary School right over here in our backyard. And there were many times I would walk home from school, and I would be approaching our house right back here in Rock Hill Homes, and you know, we had the windows up in the warm season, and so you could hear things inside the house, and it was just... That's how people used to live. We used to have our windows up and doors open. Remember those days? And so I'd be walking home from school, and I would hear, as I got closer to the house, I would hear Mom praying in the bedroom. She'd had that door closed, and she'd be praying in that bedroom. She's praying for her boys, me and my brother. She's praying for her wayward husband. She's praying for her home. She's standing in the gap. And I just remember hearing her cry out to God and pray on our behalf and ask God for the answer. She'd have the bills laid up on the bed and asking God to supply the need that we have and meet the need. Listen, there's a place where you get in God and trust in Him and believe in Him no matter what, no matter what comes your way, no matter what trials, no matter what adversity. You know that you're God is your God, and if you get along with Him, He hears your heart, He hears your prayer, and you know that He is able to do immeasurably, abundantly above all that we would ever ask or imagine. In other words, how big is your God? How big is your God? Can you trust Him with your life? Can you trust Him with your needs? Can you trust Him with your now? Can you trust Him with your yesterday? Can you trust Him with your future? How big is your God? The widow got behind a closed door. She did as Elisha said, and she got in and she began to pray and she asked God. You see, she understood that there are certain things and certain times that require our getting along with God. Sir, ma'am, there might be something in your life right now that requires for you to get along with God. It doesn't mean for you to get along with someone else or another group of people. I'm saying it requires that you get along with God and you begin to inquire of Him of it. You begin to ask Him of it. You begin to tell Him of it. You begin to pour your heart out before God. Because you know what? God sees and He knows. You seasoned saints in the room here this morning have experienced getting behind closed doors. Come on, somebody. You have experienced that. I know you have. Getting behind the closed doors and praying out and crying out to a God who hears your prayer. This is the provision that He needs to see before that provision is given. The trust that you would have in Him. So she cried out to the prophet. And she got behind a closed door. And the third thing that we see that she began to do is she would activate what she had in her house. She moved towards faith and not fear. Look at verse 5, if you will. She left him, and then she shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. She kept pouring. What I love about real faith is that it requires movement on my part. It requires movement. It's like you guys working 24/7 around the clock getting this event ready. There's movement behind your faith. You're believing that God's going to bring a great group of people through that's going to get saved and experience who Jesus is. This proclamation of your stories and how you're sharing the gospel in that tool. But you're believing. That's faith. And so what faith does, it moves you. It moves you to action. It moves you to having a drill in your hand or a hammer in your hand or doing something to make this ready to go because you believe you're putting faith before your action. You see, what I love about real faith is it causes movement on my part. Faith is not sitting back and wishing for something to happen. Who's ever tried that before? Have you ever been disappointed in that before? Sitting back and asking God, make this happen. Lord, it's like we just look to God like a sugar daddy God, and we're saying, God, I need this. I know you know you want to give it to me. Let me have it. Guys, God doesn't act that way. That's not the character of God. You know how God acts? He looks to see your faith and who He is. If you say you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, and you're the soon coming King, and I have faith in you, and I'm going to move on what you tell me to do, how you tell me to say, I'm going to move on that, and I'm going to believe in you, and that's when I believe He acts on our behalf. He sees the faith that we have in Him. Faith is movement. You see, when you have fear, fear immobilizes. Fear keeps you from doing. Fear freezes. Fear captivates and causes feeling of retreats. Many times when you're acting in fear, it's easier to go back to what is comfortable. It's easier to go back to what you remember. It's easy to go back to what you know to do. But faith is stepping forward, amen? Faith is moving in action. I love Hebrews chapter 11 because it tells us this great hall of faith, if you will, of those who trusted in God. I love in chapter 11, it says, now faith is confidence in what we have hoped for and assurance of what we do not see. It's a trustful confidence that I have in God and I have in His Word. It's a place where I know God is my God and He hears my prayer. I love some of these characters, characteristics and these personalities in the Word that shows us this ability of faith that they had. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was invisible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, in chapter 5, or verse 5, Enoch was taken from this life so he did not experience death. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is keeping with faith. I love verse 8. By faith, Abraham, everybody say Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. He took a step. He didn't know where he was going. He was obeying God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. We see in verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country, not of their own. Verse 17, by faith, everybody say by faith, Abraham, when tested by God, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had embraced the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son. And even though he did what God said, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God would even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed his sons, Joseph, Joseph's sons in worship as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, the people who passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed for those who were disobedient. We see faith after faith. Everybody say faith. There's faith. There's movement in faith. There's action in faith. That's all Hebrews 11 is telling us, is there's movement behind faith. And the writer of Hebrews gives us all these stories and these characters in the Word of God that demonstrate what faith is. Faith requires action. I'm asking you this morning, what do you have need of this morning? What does your family have need of? Begin to set out jars and pour oil into those jars. Begin to use what's in your house now. Begin to use what's in your hands now. Because before the provision is the prevision. What God sees in your life now is how God's going to respond to your needs that you put before him. Let's go back to the widow. And we see she's crying out to God. She's shutting the door behind her, and she's pleading with God, and she's asking God, and she's moving in faith. She's acting in faith and not in fear. And then we also see something that's very important, I believe, for all of us to get this morning is this. The fourth thing I see that she does, look at verse 7, if you will. It says that after the oil stopped flowing, verse 7, she went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. I love this. She went. Everybody say she went. And she told. One more time. She went and she told the man of God. In other words, she began to give a report of what she had done in advance to what God was getting ready to do. Many times when we have a need before us, it's easy to worry. It's easy to be anxious about the moment we're in. It's easy to lean that way. But what I want us to see this morning in the life of this widow is that her faith was in movement, her faith was in action, and here we see her beginning to worship instead of worry. What I want you to do is I want you to walk in worship and not walk in worry. Look at your neighbor and say, walk in worship. Come on, don't walk in worry. Walk in worship. Walk in worship. Don't walk in gloom, despair, and agony on me, but walk in victory in Jesus. Walk in, I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able. Walk in the greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Walk in the knowledge that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that your God is big enough. Walk in worship. Lord, you know I have this need. Lord, you know what's going on in my life. You know what I'm facing right now. You know the circumstances. You know the trials. You know what's coming against me, God. But I decide, Lord, I'm going to worship you in the midst of it all. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to stand and worship you in the midst of it all. I don't know what you brought in this morning with you. I don't know what circumstances are going on in your life. I don't know what's heavy on your heart. But I want you, as many that will join with me right now, I want you to stand to your feet and begin to worship him instead of worrying about it, instead of being anxious about it. Lord, I want to worship you. Come on, just begin to stand on your feet and worship him. Father, I worship you in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my circumstance, God. I worship you even now, God. I lift you up in the middle of my circumstance, oh Lord. And I know that you are God. And Lord, I proclaim, Lord, your life in me. Lord, I proclaim, Lord God, liberty and life and freedom, Lord, over my life right now. Oh, God, I thank you for seeing and knowing, Lord Jesus. God, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give you praise, God, in the middle of it, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you see and you know, God, right now. You see what I need, God. You see, God, what I'm going through, Lord. You know, God. You hold it in the palm of your hands, oh, God. God, I thank you that you are more than enough, oh, Lord. I don't know what you brought this morning, but I want to, just in your mental eye, in your heart's eye, I want you to begin to lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, you're bigger than this. You're bigger than this, God. You're bigger than the cancer, Lord. You're bigger than the COVID, Lord Jesus. You're bigger, God, than this trial. You're bigger than my financial need, Lord. You're bigger than this, oh God. Oh, Lord Jesus, I worship you, Lord. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to worship you, Lord, right now. Come on, all across the room, just begin to worship him, Lord, in the midst of it. And don't let the enemy tell you who you are to worship. The enemy will tell you, what are you doing raising your hands? What are you doing worshiping? You're not worthy of that. Look at what you did this week. Look at how you've been this week. No, I want you to worship him. Break through that right now in the name of Jesus and begin to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.